From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad on a glorious sunny day here in Slovakia, base of the Tatry Mountains, in a town called Poprad. That's why we call it Postcard from Poprad. I'm Eric Wiltshire, glad to have you with us. Glad to have lots of new listeners that came in from the London area yesterday. Over on the zit of the nose of Europe, as always, it is young Lee Banks.
It's me! I tell you, can I just say hello to our new listeners in London?
Yes.
You know who you are.
And it's nice to hear you sounding so butch today, dear boy.
I'm very butch, actually, because you just made me get rid of my brand new microphone. Mm. Do you know it had two heads? It was so expensive, it had two heads.
Do you know, that always amazes me. I'll come to the rest of the programme in a minute, boys and girls, where people have to have stereo microphones. And I've never understood that, because...
Well, I just thought it sounded better, because I could talk in one side and talk in the other. Two heads, one either side, brilliant.
No.
It's like, yeah,
no,
brilliant, but
no.
It is rubbish!
No, because stereo microphones for talk are rubbish, because you've only got one mouth. You're in mono.
Well, it depends. Some people have two mouths, don't they? Goes with the two.
Anyway, paddling away through the water down under up there in Oz, it's Rach.
Hey! I don't know the new listeners in London, but I'd really like to.
Would you? I know what you mean. Anyway, hi to the guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, Audio Boost, Breaker, and we'll come on to this in a minute. You lovely folks on RTI, thank you for all the comments yesterday, especially John up in Scotland, who was so concerned he bothered to get in touch with us about the first subject we cover today. It's a sad departure for one of the longest serving streaming services on the internet in terms of user content. It is no more. Stick'em has gone.
I know, it's stuck on, hasn't it? I tell you, it's terrible. That's so sad. Do you know I've lost a really good video off there?
No, you can still get it.
Can I still get it?
Yeah, they're leaving the website up. Let me explain, boys and girls. Stick'em has been our streaming service. I'm repeating this for other people, streaming service.
Is this for our listeners in London?
Yes, for the last 7 years. That's how long Stick'em's been there, and RTI has been streaming with Stick'em from day one almost. And before I carry on, I'm just going to seriously say thank you to Stick'em for actually supplying the mainstream for RTI for all those years. You've been wonderful, and to be quite honest, you're part of the reason why we managed to keep going when the government wanted to shut us down. Well, they didn't. The good news is... Yippee! After burning the midnight oil, we now have a wonderful new stream. It sounds incredibly cool with Ustream. Thank you very much indeed, guys. And we are getting this all updated on as many places as we can over the web. Unfortunately, we looked at the list and it's kind of like over 100 different places this is embedded on the web. And so we've got a lot of work to do. Which I'm currently not doing. I've left Petra in the office to do it for me, because I'm like that. thank you ever so much to Stick'em for the last 7 years. We wish you all the best, especially those that have been really hard working. Thanks ever so much for all your help. But the good news is we've got a brand new stream for RTI, a brand new 24/7 stream for RTI, and it's going to have more things on it than ever before.
Blimey. Which is wonderful. And yeah, Stick'em has been a brilliant service, and it really is sad. I don't really know the background to why they've gone.
Well, nobody knows at the moment. I think it's money.
No, I think, well, yeah, and it's just sad because a lot of people did use it and did lots of good work on there.
Well, yeah, and I mean, when they tried to close us down, Lee, if you remember, Stick'em was our route back to the world.
Absolutely.
And it saved RTI, so Stick'em, thank you. And we continue, as it says. Moving along, by the way, if you find anybody finds a link where there's or you've embedded it on your sites yourself, which I know a lot of people have, and you need the new code for the new player, don't be afraid to get in touch with us via Facebook or get in touch via your own radio station, or you can just email us studio@rti.fm and we'll happily email you back with the new code for your website as well.
We're very nice, aren't we? We're very helpful.
Well, when you've got so many people helping you, you've got to be nice back.
Absolutely, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying we're nice people.
Well,
don't start picking on me.
Why?
Because everybody picks on me.
Anyway, it seems to be that a lot of, shall we say, naysayers are getting their just rewards this week. Because
good.
The BBC has come under fire for the new not local radio show. And I think that was in part due to the a good friend of mine, Roger Day, who was speaking out in the Radio Times, which is a really old publication in the UK. And because of that, the national press have now picked up on it. And just to recap on the story, the BBC decided they would save a load of money by doing the evening and night programmes on local radio stations and replace it with a network programme with one presenter trying to pretend he's from all different places all over the world. And it is getting lambasted by the audience. Murdered.
Well, yeah, they'd hate that.
Go on, Lee. What? Did you not hear what she said? It was beautiful.
It's my microphone. It just doesn't work as headphones, and I'm scratching my ear with it. Sorry. Sorry. That was a terrible thing to be doing, wasn't it?
Oh, dear. Yeah, it sounds about normal for you.
Honestly, I think the description you've just done of the new BBC local service is absolutely right. And I've got to say that when we started off our campaign to save local radio, I was a bit ambivalent about it because I think local radio on the BBC is absolutely appalling. It is as bad as the BBC playlist for music. It is appalling. But the simple fact is, what the BBC have managed to do by putting Mark Forrest on, the new nationwide local presenter, is make it even worse.
Well, I've got a solution to this.
Nationwide and local, if you put nationwide and local in the same sentence, is it like an oxymoron?
I think it is.
It's something to do with farmyard.
Well, it's something to do with moron anyway.
it's a moron, yeah.
I just had a thought, you know. You know these poor people that were stuck with cassettes, blank cassettes?
Yeah.
And blank CDs that nobody uses anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've got an even better idea for the BBC. Why don't they just make 6 tapes and send them out to the 6 remaining listeners and save even more money?
Well, they could do that. But honestly, have you managed to listen to it on any kind of streaming service or listen again service, either of you? Have you managed to listen?
No, because that's why I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm just laughing.
Yeah.
I'm Queensland, man. I can't get a hold of it.
You've got a beautiful laugh. Ladies and gentlemen, I must just tell you, Rachel is forever known now as Hot Pants Brunsdon. She can explain why if she wants to.
No. We're not going there. Otherwise, we'll talk about apples and iPods and things as well.
That'll be interesting.
Can of worms.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway.
Shall we tell ladies and gentlemen what happened with our friend Jim Hawkins?
No, I think what we should do with our friend Jim Hawkins is say, how silly can one get?
Well, yes, but I have a certain respect for Jim Hawkins' silliness, and I would like to just point out that he has apologised for what he said to his listeners on Twitter.
No, The Planet on Twitter.
He told The Planet on Twitter. I'm going to say, if you want to cough me out, you can. Here I go. He called his listeners dullards. What a ridiculous thing to say.
Yes, but now balance it and read the apology.
Well, he said, I'm sorry, but if you want me to read his apology, I will read his apology. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jim Hawkins' apology to the people who made him famous in my local area. This is his apology for calling them dullards. He says, I'm sorry. In some recent tweets, I haven't shown the people the respect they deserve. That was wrong. Whether or not I meant you, I apologise. What a gentleman sausage.
What a
dork.
Very contrived. I've got two thoughts here. Either he was a plank and made a mistake, or that whole thing was a publicity stunt to try and get him more listeners.
Well, well done, Jim. You managed to get into the Shropshire Star.
No, he got into the big he got into the big newspaper things as well, The Guardian.
Well, he actually made in at the Times of India as well, so yeah. That'll got him a lot of good.
But anyway, I have had a quick listen to the show because it's the right thing to do, and I would best describe it as this. If you want to go to sleep but love coffee, which means you have about three cups of coffee and then can't sleep, have your three cups of coffee, listen to the England show and you'll go to sleep.
I wonder if I can get it somehow, because I don't want to take Stilnox anymore. I don't want to be taking Ambien and stuff like that. So maybe I can get a hold of it.
Yes, absolutely. So you just go to sleep, Rach. It's no problem. Moving along to more serious matters, huge floods in Oz, especially in Queensland as well, and empty supermarkets everywhere, Rach. What's going on?
Well, I can barely tell you the story because I'm so weak from starvation, but I will.
Have I told you the phrase that's used in Slovakia?
No.
Pinocchio noza.
Yeah. Big fat liar. Well, funny you should say that. We're back on the pants thing again.
Yes.
Pants on fire. Yes. Never mind. Moving on. What happened was Bundaberg, us in Gladstone and Rockhampton, which is directly above me, we all got flooded. So no trucks can get in. None, not right. From any direction. We were landlocked.
Right.
And we were landlocked from, well, it was raining when we did the broadcast last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And after that happened, I lost everything in terms of power, internet, telephone, everything like that for days. And we couldn't get any transmissions and we couldn't do anything. But we also couldn't get to the supermarket to get the food. When we could get to the supermarket to get the food, there was none because the trucks can't get in there.
Have they not?
Now, the trucks have come back.
Minute. Have they never heard of helicopters?
Yeah. Well, that was the next step. But unfortunately, because Bundaberg got hit so hard, they got hit harder than we did. Very hard, actually. They're doing it really tough there at the moment. So, hi, Bundaberg.
Excuse me, hot
yes,
pants.
Yes.
May I just say. Right, ladies and gentlemen, you know it is my job as an investigative journalist to unveil the truth.
Right.
This is what happened to Hot Pants Brunsdon when the supermarkets were out of food and the helicopters couldn't get in to deliver it. This isn't saying that she's very middle class. I would never suggest for a second that she's middle class. But what this was the conversation that went on in the Brunsdon household. Oh, we've run out of food, dear. It's this flooding crisis. Don't worry, darling. I know this nice little Chinese down the road will nip out there.
No comment.
Well, actually, it was Thai. But
yeah.
Well, I didn't want to go out there because I said, I'll take you to a Thai restaurant. And I said, they're going to fly the food in from Bangkok. Where's it coming from? So, in all seriousness, it was very, very unpleasant. And the reason why it was so unpleasant is because first of all the fresh produce ran out. And I like my fresh produce. I don't eat things out of tins as a rule. And I'm not being a snob. I just prefer it that way.
Mm.
So, but then after a while, because it got a little bit end of day, as it got a little bit apocalyptic, everything was disappearing. Like, if dog food was your only option, then it wasn't your only option at all. Because it too was gone. Ooh. Everything was gone. Everything. And then I went in there the other day and I saw a coconut and a very old turnip. And I thought, has it come to this? Finally, the trucks.
Overshooting gallery, yeah.
Finally, the trucks returned. The trucks returned yesterday, and yay, they rejoiced, for there was food. But then it got a bit like a riot. People went scrambling down there, and I got in a knife fight over an avocado.
Oh.
No, but it's all good now. We've got the trucks back and it's okay. But they have to come back more often because as soon as it goes on the shelf, it just leaves again. So they have to bring in more and more and more and more and more food.
So
but
is
don't
it,
worry. But I could stand to lose a couple of kilo anyway. That's all right.
But anyway, HPB, what has is the impact of all this? I mean, is everybody sorted now?
No. Rockhampton is about 45 minutes drive north of me. The rain has stopped, but their river is still rising from overflow.
Mm.
So they have now had to evacuate again because that's going to get hit on the weekend. That's going to rise above levels again. Mm. Bundaberg got so badly hit that they've actually had to fly in the army wing of the ADF, which is the Australian Defence Force, to come and help them clean up because they're in that much trouble. I mean, entire roads, bridges, et cetera, have been washed away. Big structures, and it's really a big mess. Mm. The floods we had in 2010 that were very, very huge, Bundaberg had never seen anything like that, and now they've never seen anything like this. So it's enormous. But we also lost all our telecommunication for a while because some cable got damaged.
Uh-oh.
And we couldn't even ring 000, which is your 999 in the UK, I think, or 911 in the States. That emergency number, you should always be able to ring that regardless because it should bypass to another system. And we couldn't even ring that. So if you had an emergency, which is quite likely in a flood situation,
then
too bad, so sad. And I got really furious about it and went ranting about the national telecommunication carrier here. And there was a big to-do about it.
Can I ask a stupid question, which is actually not stupid as it goes? I always thought that within Australia there was a high level of old-fashioned radio communications, like shortwave radio and things from some of the outback places. And I just wondered if it's not a good thing for somebody like you who's got, how do we put this, an intrusive voice at times, to actually get everybody together and go, oi, why don't we have a CB network?
Yeah, I think we have to. And in terms of preparedness, you know, floods are one thing and all that stuff and the fires in Victoria and everything else. But the fact of the matter is that this is Australia and this is how the weather is.
Mm.
It's an extreme climate country. And we need to be prepared for all of it and every single scenario. What happened the other day should never have happened ever.
No, and I think it's a good thing that you just mentioned, Rachel, because we rely too much on communications via the internet, communications via mobile phones. I mean, I don't have a home phone line at all.
Neither do I.
And, you know, there begs the problem. Well, actually, I could get around it because I'm an ex-BT engineer and I'd find a way where the box was.
But even we lost those too.
Yeah, well, I'll do my best to cobble something together. But the fact of the matter is, there is still a desperate need for the old system in the 70s of, you know, citizens banding together and having their own little battery-powered radio network, which is just there as an emergency. I don't understand why people don't do it.
I think that makes sense, but I think something else is really important. It's like, is it the same? I'm asking you this in a journalistic sense, Rachel. In Britain, when we have wild weather, unexpected, like we have floods because it's rained a bit and we get snowed in because it snows a bit. Mm. And I think Britain should hold its head in shame for not being prepared for this kind of thing. Is it the same where you are? Should the country be prepared for these extreme climate changes? Because like you say, it's a country of extremes. Why isn't it prepared? How can this happen?
I think in the most part, in a lot of ways we are, in 99.9% of the ways we are, because it happens year after year after year and has been since the dawn of time. But I don't think the telco in this case anticipated this scenario, and they should have. They have to anticipate every single kind of scenario. But what if this happens? But it's risk management. It's basic risk management.
Absolutely.
And it made me so furious. I was just furious. I was, you know, marching up and down and yelling, "Objection, Your Honour," and all sorts of stuff. I went a bit loopy, quite known.
Yeah.
But I think getting back to see what the whole telco thing. I've been thinking this for, you know, the whole 40 something years I've been on the planet. We outsmart ourselves with this technology. We outsmart ourselves. And what we've done is we've outsmarted it. Well, I didn't. Telstra did. And I'll say their name out loud. I don't care. They outsmarted themselves in this case. They threw down all this optic fibre, and they never even took note of where they put it. So when it breaks, how do they go and fix it?
Unbelievable.
I couldn't believe
Can't they just pick an end up
ridiculous.
And follow it?
No.
Well, that's what I thought.
No, it's not like
that. Apparently not.
No, it's not like the old days. Anyway, look, listen, because we're running out of time on part one already, and we've still got our big Wikipedia investigation to go in part two, we'll move on to a couple of other topics, but we will wish everybody down in Australia all the
best.
Hope you're all well. Keep yourselves safe. And if you see Rachel going to the supermarket, just knock her over and go there first.
And the thing is, also, remember,
don't touch the avocado.
Yeah. Remember, if you've got a real problem, Rachel knows a really good restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were cats there and everything.
Staying with the digital world for a bit, the internet giant Amazon has posted its results with the Christmas sales of 13.1 billion. 13.1 billion pounds. Whoa.
Is that a lot of money for Amazon?
That's a lot of money for anybody. I don't know how many noughts that is. It's so good. Amazon.
You know how many noughts that is?
No.
27.
Is it? Are you sure? You just made it up? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, they've also come under fire for not paying their what people are classifying as their taxes, although they did pay 1.8 million. Which I can't really see that. The revenues were up 22% due to sales of the Kindle Fire tablet, which still I don't understand whatsoever. No, I understand the product. I just don't see why people buy them, because you can do exactly the same with another tablet and get a lot more for your money. But there you go. And in the same week as that's come out, the online business of the failed camera chain Jessup's has been sold. One of them to one of the Dragon's Den guys. And so it would appear that the only business worth going into, because the Jessup shops are set to close, is online.
Well, I think that makes sense, because quite honestly, where I live in the village of the Damned, we're very near to a town called Stafford. Mm-hmm. And Stafford is a county town, gloriously historic and all sorts of wonderful reasons to visit it, but it is a ghost town. Virtually every shop, I think one in 10 shops is now shut. They're boarded up. Nobody can actually trade on a high street anymore. In Newport, the town next to me, these are all these small little county towns.
Can I just propose
places.
A theory?
No businesses there.
Can I propose a theory?
Go on then.
Well, there's a slightly different setup to costings for shops here in Slovakia, and it is slightly different. So you can go and argue the toss with people. But one of the things
you mean
is
bartering.
No. One of the things that is part of your cost of sale as a small shopkeeper is your rent or lease. Now, the trouble with all this is leases went up and up and up because people were buying properties on mortgage to rent or mortgage to lease basis. So they've got to stay with one figure because their building society or bank has said, you will get £20 a week for this place. And as other costs go up, it's forcing the cost up because the people are not buying the shops anymore. They're just renting them.
Well, that's the same over here.
No, that's what I'm saying is the problem over there, over in the UK, which means the cost that they have to give to the consumer goes up. Therefore, they end up pricing themselves out the market. Whereas the likes of an online Jessup or an online Amazon don't have to pay the infrastructure costs of a shop.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. We've got a bookshop, and I know books are old hat now, but they shouldn't be. They're still things that we should own. And a bookshop in a town, I'm not going to name the town because it'll embarrass the shop, but this shop has moved 4 times in the past 2 or 3 years. And the reason it's moving is not because it wants to enhance its position on the high streets, it's looking for cheaper premises. And that's an absolute tragedy. It really is.
It is.
It really is awful.
Yeah, but if more people did that, Lee, it could drive the rental price down and therefore encourage more people to go on the high street.
I think the problem is, and I do not defend the internet, as we'll discover later on, and everybody who listens to this show knows that I do not defend the internet, but unfortunately the internet now is the place where you need to go to buy things. I'll tell you what, bad things are in Britain. This is the God's honest truth, and I think this is so indicative of how bad things are here. What date is it now? It's the beginning of February. Yep. 1st of February, right? That means that Christmas Day was about 5 weeks ago, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
I swear on everything that I own as precious that I witnessed the first Christmas advert for Christmas 2013 on TV 3 days ago.
I've been seeing it
for
ages.
What was it for?
It was
Hampers.
It was Antlers.
Was it Hampers?
Hampers.
They're doing that here too. Hampers are here already.
It wasn't actually, but it's that sort of thing. But to actually start advertising for Christmas 12 months virtually before the event, that shows how bad things actually are.
No.
They want to make money, and the only time they're going to make it is at Christmas.
No.
It's appalling.
If you are a hamper company where people pay in over 52 weeks... you want them to start paying into it now because you get more business out of them. You don't want them to start paying in October, do you?
No, I understand.
No, but people do it now because the cost per week is ends up being less.
Yes.
So, you know, it's less impact on your wallet.
Yeah, exactly.
Over the course of the year.
So I get that. Hot Pants and Mr. Eric think it's a good idea to start advertising for Christmas 12 months before the event.
Yeah, if I was a hamper company, yes.
If for the hampers, yeah. But if I was selling my hot pants, I wouldn't bother.
If you were selling your hot pants, I'd be buying them.
Actually, boys and girls, you should know that because Rachie's from Oz, she was the very magnanimous lady. She stood down so that Kylie could win the award for the hot pants.
She did. What a bummer.
I lied.
dreams, I did.
Anyway, it is interesting how this is going. I don't know how it's going to go, but I do urge you, where possible, just to support your local shopkeeper, because when he's not there and you suddenly realise it's 10 miles to a supermarket or 2 days for delivery on the via the internet, you sit there and you go, this tea tastes rubbish with no sugar in it.
It's true, and there was a very old arrogant phrase that was adopted, particularly by post offices in Britain a few years ago, and it was so arrogant, I hated it, and it was just a pointing finger saying, use it or lose it.
And that's right.
That was so, but
my
now
God.
It actually works. It actually stands up for itself.
Yeah.
And we are losing our local shops. There are three supermarkets in the town next to me, and they're now trying to build a fourth one. They'll go ahead and do it because it's council land that they're going to build it on. And they will build a fourth supermarket. That is the kiss of death.
Okay, we're going to end there at part one. I'll just remind you that coming up in part two, we'll be looking at Wikipedia. Also want to remind you that if you want to get the direct stream, the brand new stream, you go over to Ustream, Radio Tatras Int, I-N-T. So that's Radio T-A-T-R-A-S, Int, Radio Tatras Int. You can log on there and you'll find as far as other places all around the web as well. We're doing our best to catch up with that one, which hit us rather hard yesterday. See you after you've had that milkshake, cup of tea, or even, well, a burger and chips.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.